Life is full of adventures in the shape of places, people, and experiences. And in retirement, it's your turn to choose what those adventures look like. Whether you want to travel, fish, hit the beach, or see grandkids, it's important to take time to connect to your dreams for retirement. Welcome to the Delaware Retirement Connection with your host, Len. As a certified life coach and certified financial planner, Lynn combines life coaching and financial advisory skills to help retirees identify and fund their life goals, hopes, and dreams to make their retirement as amazing as they want it to be. Now, here's Lynn.
Welcome to the Delaware Retiree Connection. This is your host, Lynn, the Delaware Retiree Advisor. We're going to talk today about connecting over food. And I have to admit, I love food. I just find food wonderful in every way. I like the taste. I like the smell of food. I like the texture of food. I love the experience of food. And really, I think one of the things I enjoy most about food is that food, although it can be a single person experience, it's often a relational experience. It's often a time to meet with folks. We'll use the words break bread. It's a time to connect. And some of my very meaningful conversations with folks and times in life are over food. And my background is Ukrainian. And just like every ethnicity has its special foods. I married a woman from another ethnicity from the Philippines, who has a different different foods and different kind of culture. So, Joyce, love to get your thoughts about food from your perspective.
Well, usually I recall that I was not a good cook.
Not true.
But you know what happens. You try the trials and errors get refined.
Well, let's just say friends and family. There's nothing like friends and family to try new recipes on. So, but Joyce, now your food was most appreciated and yummy.
Yeah. So, growing up, my Filipino background, the main food that I recall was something that my mom would make for us, which was lumpia. And it's like an egg roll. So most people will know what an egg roll is. And to this day and up until actually when my mom passed, that was the thing that we made together as family, is making the lumpia together. And it was just a special memory.
And I want to talk a little about that because, every time there was a family gathering that involved, let's say, more than two families, and my mother-in-law, who has passed since, we miss her, there was always cooking with Filipino food. There's always this, and it was a family experience, and and everyone would chip in, and it was just a wonderful time. And what's so really interesting and really amazing is that when a family gets together at this time, your family still makes this lumpia, and you remember your mother.
Absolutely. Yes. It's the food is the connecting factor back to those memories that you've shared over the food that you made. And not only getting to share that with our immediate family, but wherever my mom went, she would make enough to store in the freezer for later.
So I should talk a little bit about my family upbringing. We grew up, I'm Ukrainian, and my mother came from Ukraine. And so that diet consists of a lot of vegetables, a lot of root vegetables, beets, carrots, cabbage is a big part of the diet. And quite frankly, the reason for that is in the old country, you didn't have refrigeration. So you had to grow food and store food for the whole winter. And so you need stuff that didn't go bad, things like potatoes and beets and carrots, that kind of stuff, right? So I was raised eating everything. I mean, there was no such thing as I don't want it, I don't like it, I don't like the taste of it. We had everything. And I enjoyed everything. And I think that's one of the reasons I have such an appreciation for food is because I had so many different things. You know, one of my favorite things to eat, a little bit on a non-meat diet right now, but Joyce will laugh. What's my favorite thing when I used to go to restaurants? Do you remember? Then no one else likes?
Cabbage.
No, liver and onions.
Oh.
So liver and onions, I enjoy all that stuff. But for me, getting back to really the topic, you know, we had special dinners, special traditions, and traditions often involve food. And so we would have a Christmas Eve dinner that my mother would make, and it would have 12 courses, and so this would take a lot of time, a lot of effort. Mom would do that, but that tied us to our heritage, to our family. When my parents passed, my brother and his wife have taken on that tradition, and that's a tradition that continues. And it's really interesting how food, in addition to, you know, the pleasure of eating food and, of course, the sustenance, right? But the connection is to your heritage and your culture. And I'd like to get your thoughts on how your food continues your connection with your Filipino culture.
Well, I guess for me, I wish I knew more different types of foods from the Philippines, but you always just have your favorites. And I think that's the comfort food that you go back to. They're the ones that you love and are easy to make. And I think that's really what connects me is my favorite comfort foods. And I know I can just have it be a go-to anytime I want it.
So why do you think food is such a universal connector? I have my thoughts. I'd like to get your thoughts. Why do people connect over food?
I think it triggers a lot of memories as you share. I think just being around a table and sharing a meal together gives you that closeness that you can have, and hopefully it sparks like a lot more communication as well. And you know, when you do that, often you look forward to it, and then when you come back again, especially after a long period of time when your kids grow up, you really look forward to just that time connecting across the table.
I think your insights are very good with that. You know, there's so many distractions in life. There's so many things that pull us in many, many directions. And when you sit down to eat, there's a break. There's just, you know, stop the world, which is why when our children were younger, we never let them do their texting and their phones at the dinner table. It's like, we're not doing life together. It's like they're disconnected, right? So just set everything aside and you do life together. I think that's extraordinarily important. The other thing I think is really interesting is that there's something just very basic about food. It's just, you know, you're eating something you need to live. It gives you strength. It gives you sustenance. Of course, we also eat because, you know, let's face it, in our country, we don't eat just to, you know, sustain ourselves, right? We do because we enjoy it. It's really a culinary pursuit, but it's part of that connecting with our needs. And when you think of families, you know, there's that great connection. Of course, a lot of this is strained in our society because of very splintered. But, you know, as a family, we try to have regular family times. And I know, Joyce, as you as a mom, you really try to have that happen as many times a week as possible. And talk a little bit about that. You know, what did you see happening when we all shut down from all different activities and we got together for a family meal? What exactly transpired during that period of time?
I think it's a time for sharing just, you know, what's happened in your day and a time to enjoy laughter together. And those were some, you know, special times when you can get together and share what's going on in your individual lives when you've come together over the meal.
You know, when I have different foods, it's interesting. Different foods trigger for me different memories. Whether I go to a certain restaurant, I may remember a certain person, or I have a certain type of food, it brings someone to mind, or I might think of a friend or family member and it triggers something we have with food. And so I have different friends that I had over the years, and it triggers special memories. For example, I had an Indian client, a very dear friend of mine. And I have to be honest with you, Indian food is a relatively new experience in my life. And I said I grew up eating all kinds of food. Well, we never really had Indian food growing up, and never really had Mexican food. I know, Joyce, that's one of your favorites, and I've come to like that. But Indian food, honestly, was not on my list. And because of my relationship with this fellow, we went to the Indian restaurant a number of times, and I actually acquired a taste for it, you know, and I enjoy it. And so when I go to an Indian restaurant, I often think of my friend Sharad and the special times we had. I don't know, Joyce, if you have any recollections of something like that.
I think for me, I've enjoyed pizza.
Join the club.
And so that also became like a special meeting place for me and my kids over time. And as they've all left the area, you know, the one pizza place in town was Al John's Pizza. And whenever we came to town or whenever they came to town, we had to have some of their pizza. And so I think that was really special that we would go to the special place that throughout the kids' years, even though they're away, they got to come home to have some of that pizza. And just fun sharing that memory. And especially this last time when our son came home from the military, I said, let's go meet at Al John's. And I had a sign for him saying, you know, welcome home, Captain. And he didn't even see the sign. He was just so happy to see me in his favorite pizza place. And it just like was welcome home.
Yeah, it's just so interesting how that food is a trigger of people. And that's why we're really excited about our program, Connecting Over Food. And we're going to have a wonderful visitor in just a moment. You'll enjoy meeting Keith Irwin, the owner of Old World Breads. And we're going to be talking about how his store, his bakery, is just a real, real wonderful connector between food and friends and family. We'll be right back. Thanks for listening.
It's easy for the markets to throw our retirement portfolio off kilter, but with a little guidance, we can get things back on track. Len is here to help. Give him a call today at 302-501-7711.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? If you want to retire and stay retired, get the information you need by joining Lynn, the Delaware Retiree Advisor, for a special event. What's the best way for you to take Social Security? When can you sign up for Medicare, and what does it actually cover? Is there a way to lower your tax bill? These and much more will be discussed as you and a guest enjoy a complimentary dinner. View upcoming events at dedicatedfinancialservices.com. Reserve your seat today by calling 302-501-7711. That's 302-501-7711, or go to dedicatedfinancialservices.com. Plan today so you can do the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Lynn, the Delaware Retiree Advisor. Call 302-501-7711 or go to dedicatedfinancialservices.com. Firm offers insurance services and is not affiliated with the U.S. government. Investment advisory services offered through SGL Financial LLC, an SEC-registered advisory firm.
You're listening to the Delaware Retiree Connection. If you like what you hear on today's show or have questions, drop by dedicatedfinancialservices.com or call 302-501-7711 to talk to Len.
Thanks for listening to the Delaware Retiree Connection. This is your host, Len, the Delaware Retiree Advisor. I'm here with my friend, Keith Irwin. Keith is the owner of Old World Bread here in Lewis. Keith, thanks so much for joining us. Thanks for spending some time.
Thanks for having me, Len. I appreciate it.
Hey, Keith, so, you know, believe it or not, there might be some folks who don't know about your store. So tell the folks a little bit about where you're located and brag a little bit about your stuff, because if you don't, I will.
Well, we're located just off the bike path at the corner of Nassau Road and New Road, which is on the east side of Route 1, which is a little service road over to the side there. So it's a little bit off the beaten path.
Yeah, so let me tell the way I go. I just remember when I go over the Nassau Bridge, I take a left right after I go over the bridge. If I'm coming on Coastal Highway.
If you're headed south from.
Right, if I'm heading south. Yeah. As soon as I go over the bridge, I make a left. If I'm going north, then I make a right before I get to the bridge. That's just
the way before the bridge, just after St. Jude's.
Cool. So talk a little bit about your store and some of your wonderful baked goods.
Well, we do all kinds of different things, not just bread, but we have a wonderful bread variety. We also have a wonderful pastry variety. And then we also make quiche. We make pot pies, hand pies, a lot of different things. Hummus. We make lavash chips for the hummus. We do all kinds of different things with soups, all from scratch, all with the best ingredients. And recently, we just revamped the store. And I'm also adding pizzas, hand-tossed pizzas, New York-style, thinner crust, more with a Neapolitan look, you know, whether the 12-inch pies. We're doing all kinds of great things and offering all things to circumnavigate bread and things that go with bread. So it's all handmade. We've got a great staff. We've got over 30 people, and we're always trying something new with the best ingredients we can get our hands on.
Well, Keith, I'd like to talk a little bit about just the whole idea of ingredients. You know, one thing that I have to say that is striking to me, when I go there to have the nut bread, and I have to tell you, if I had to eat just one food my entire life, that would be the nut bread. I just think that's like so hearty and wholesome. I used to say pizza, but I don't eat cheese right now. So cheese is off the top of my list.
We're doing a lot without cheese.
Yeah. Well, that's something I'll have to try.
And actually, that seed and nut bread, I made that one for my wife. She's like, I really wish we had something that had seeds and nuts in it. I said, all right. She goes, because I like that Arnold bread at the store. I said, no, don't do that. I said, let me try to make something, and I'll bring it home. And once it's approved by you, we'll go from there.
So how do you make up these recipes? You just experiment?
It depends on what you're in the mood for. Well, you know, food is one of those things that, you know, if you're in the mood for something, then, you know, let's see if we can make it better than what we see out there. And, you know, with a lot of experience and everything we've been doing over these years, we can almost taste it before we see it or try it. And I want all those flavors to work together properly in order to make something that's hopefully a home run. Hopefully something that everybody says, wow, that's the best I've ever had in that. And, you know, it takes a lot of work to get there. Yeah. You really got to try it and keep going and seeing what you come up with. But ultimately, hopefully, we hit that mark.
Yeah. So Keith, I want to get back to my observation. When I go to your store and I, let's say, get the nut bread, you list all the ingredients, all just plain, simple. You know, it's also pretty nice as you don't have to be a chemist to know what you're eating. So talk a little bit about the ingredients. How do you source them? And, you know, how it's not simply just getting some flour someplace.
Well, I try to use some different vendors that we go visit or are within reach, or as some people say, within our food shed as much as possible, which is trying to find things that are within your area that you can help support. And I know a big word is sustainability. One of those things is being able to get products from those farmers. And one of the big ways that we do that is we're highly involved in the local farmers markets. And we have a lot of farmers markets, friends and neighbors that I like to try to get things from them to be able to run specials in the store. And then the big bakery supplier type things, I try to get the ones that'll carry products that are as local as possible. Just in a quick example was Castle Valley Mills out of Doylestown, Pennsylvania. We got some of the local vendors to carry their products to bring to the chefs in this area. You know, they've got wonderful things, and a lot of it's organic, some of it's organic practice, but they have the same vision where they really care about the food.
So probably would be good to mention, people can buy your products not just at your store, but they also can purchase it at the farmers markets, which is becoming a real big thing here in coastal Delaware.
Yes, and luckily we've been able to keep all the farmers coming. And it's really amazing to see that a lot of these young farmers are bringing a lot of great things to the table. And
no pun intended.
But it's just, it's so inspiring to go there and just see all the food that these people are growing and the passion that they have for it. And we try to do that with our breads while we're there as well.
Hey, Keith, why don't you let our listeners know how they can find out a little bit about you, maybe go to the website, phone number, give them some contact information.
Oldworldbreads.com. And we're actually even in the process of revamping that website, so it's going to be easier to look at on the phone. It's 302-313-5191 is our phone number there. We're open every day in the morning at 7 a.m. And then closed on Mondays and Tuesdays at this time. And in the summertime, we'll be just closed on Mondays. But we close down most days at 1 o'clock and Friday and Saturday at 2 o'clock at this time.
So go to the website, check out all the yummy stuff. You also can find a little bit about Keith and Old World Breads on the DelawareRetiree.com website. That's www.DelawareRetiree.com. And Keith, Old World Breads is an advertiser on our website, and connect with them. And who knows, maybe if you enter one of the raffles that we have for their food products, you'll win that as well. So, Keith, one thing I'd like to ask is, who is your customer? Now, you know, that's kind of, it may seem like a silly question because everyone's really your customer because everyone eats food, but there's a certain person that is interested in something more wholesome and something at your bakery, right? Because, you know, you don't have the same product all the supermarkets have, or said a different way, the supermarkets don't have what you have. So what exactly do you have that attracts people? And who would that person be that is attracted to your food?
The products that we have is just that handmade thing that people are really missing from, you know, their mother cooking or something of that nature, that satisfies the soul. But at the same time, we found out, especially by using all this technology that's out there these days, like Facebook analytics or something like that, we've actually pinpointed that our ideal customer has been a female between 45 and 75 years old, which is mostly our retired community. And we have a lot of local people here that are moving here looking for information. And when they look, they, you know, at Yelp or even Delaware Retiree or our website, all those tracking ideas come up with that actual number. And I was really amazed to see that when, even if you go to boost something with any of your marketing, all this comes right back and it gives you this information. And it's pretty wild to see that. But
so it's really more of a more women in the role of maybe entertaining or providing for the families?
Mostly for the family, some entertaining, but also if it's not that female that is from 45 to 75 years old, the neat part of that is it's usually a gentleman that comes in with a note from that person. And it's just something I keep in the back of my mind when I see this, but it's just, I love when everybody's coming in, they see everything. We've gotten a lot of nurses, a lot of people on the bike path, a lot of people at the local hospitals. It's quite a diverse mix, really.
Can you talk a little bit about the bike path? So, you know, people biking, you know, like they just stop in, have a cup of coffee and a pastry and keep
yeah.
on the way. What?
Talk yeah. about that. It's, and also pizzas and a little quick bite, you know, they get out there on their bike and then they come in, earn their pastry. So it's pretty wild. We have quite a group that's very steady. You know, it'll be a whole group on Sunday morning or weekday afternoon. It's really amazing to see all these different people using the path. And it wasn't there when we started. It used to be a railway. And we watched there was a handcart group that came down the rail where they're doing the hand push carts, and they were the last ones to go down the rail. And after that, it was all torn up. The bike path came not far after, and it really helped to explode our business.
That's great to hear. Hey, Keith, we'll take a break in just a second, but talk to our listeners about the challenges of owning a bakery, everything from, you know, what does it entail, you know, and just, you know, all the components to it. And quite frankly, you probably get up really early in the morning to get to,
yeah,
to
work. You know, the old saying, a time to make the donuts is a real thing for us. And we get up at 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning, most days. And, you know, I get to bed about 7, 8 o'clock at night, sometimes 9. I just had friends in town this past weekend, 2 days ago, and we stayed up till about 11:30. And, you know, you could probably still hear it in my voice 2 days later.
Well, you're listening.
but you know, you really get in that groove of going to bed early and getting up early. And that's just how it's always been for me. I'm a morning person. So it's a grind at times, but if you stay on pace with everything, it comes very easy.
You're listening to the Delaware Retiree Connection. This is your host, Len, the Delaware Retiree Advisor. We'll be right back.
Feel like life's got you on the back foot? A little help with financial positioning from a professional can go a long way to help you set up for the retirement you've been dreaming of. If you'd like some help, give Len a call at 302-501-7711.
Remember that first paycheck when you started working all those years ago? You were finally out on your own earning money. You looked at the net amount and thought, whoa, what happened here? It could be this way with your retirement accounts. You know how much you've saved, but if you haven't planned for Uncle Sam, you could come up short in retirement. With tax laws constantly changing, there's a lot you need to know to make sure you're not paying more than your fair share. Len, the Delaware Retiree Advisor, can help. He's been helping families just like yours plan for retirement for more than 30 years. Len will help you create a retirement plan that shows you how taxes could affect you now and in the future. Set up a visit with Len, the Delaware Retiree Advisor, by calling 302-501-7711. That's 302-501-7711. Make sure you know how these changes could affect you so you can avoid those whoa moments in retirement. Call 302-501-7711. Firm offers insurance services. Investment advisory services are offered through SGL Financial, LLC, an SEC registered advisory firm.
You're listening to the Delaware Retiree Connection. If you like what you hear on today's show or have questions, drop by dedicatedfinancialservices.com or call 302-501-7711 to talk to Len.
You're listening to the Delaware Retiree Connection. This is your host, Len, the Delaware Retiree Advisor, here with Keith Irwin, the owner of Old World Breads. And we're having a wonderful time talking about food. So, Keith, I'd like to ask you about the name Old World Breads because it's much more than breads.
Yeah, we've got a lot of different things in there. And I've also put in our verbiage that it's Old World Breads Bakery. Hopefully that'll make it seem like we're doing a lot more than just the breads. You know, some of the different things we've done are the adding an entire pastry line to the original bread lineup. So we're making croissants from scratch, all different pastries and scones and different, Danish as well. And, we also have some different farmers market unique items like our, cinnamon shorties and things that come out in the season, for farmers markets that are a little bit different as well.
And of course I have to say the soups are fantastic. You know, I had the one, potato leek soup. And I said, boy, that's really, really good. And I said, no, let me try the mushroom soup. And the mushroom soup was better than I had the lentil. You know, then I had the Thai lentil soup. Yeah. So
that's just, not going anywhere. That's probably one of our best ones.
Oh, God, that's one of my favorite soups. So, you know, it's interesting that you use the word Old World Breads. And really, breads is your signature product. But you know, there's much more, but it really comes down, I think, to the wholesomeness of it.
The best part about all that is that it not only relates with the wholesomeness, but it relates with community. And the community part of all that was one of the best things that's come out of this whole thing. And, you know, it's such a daily commodity and you reach people on a daily basis that come through the door every day. And it's a deeper sense of community, really.
You know, when it comes to food, it is really part of socialization, part of, you know, connecting with my memories. And what I'd like to ask you is, if you would take us through an experience of a customer coming to your store and they see all the different food items, and I'll share mine, but what is someone thinking about? What's going through their mind as they're processing for the first time what all you have to offer?
Well, there's quite a variety when they come in and they first see it. And it's a lot of people are really overwhelmed, to be honest. Some of them don't even know where to start. And that's okay. You know, and you know, sometimes we have a line and they start to feel pressure, and I start asking them, okay, are you going to have it for dinner tonight? Are you giving it as a gift? Do you like lighter breads or darker breads? Were you looking for pastries? Some of them just don't know. They say, I just came, I wanted to see it. And that's good. And then next thing you know, they're walking out with a lot of different things because we offer so much different variety. And they say, oh, wow, the soup goes with bread. I've got hummus, all different things that we can do to really say, hey, are we having just a beach picnic or are we going to be around at night? And, you know, or am I going to feed my whole family and our friends that are coming over?
I like to go with my wife. And I'll tell you why I like to go with my wife, because, you know, it's it's just the two of us now. And, you know, there's a lot of things we do, but, you know, we eat together. That's a big part of our lives, to eat together. But I like going there. And it's like when we go see our children, it's like, oh, our son Ben, he doesn't like sweets, but he likes lemon stuff. So we say, oh, here, let's get that lemon custard for Ben. Or here's that lemon donut. And I have to tell our listeners, if you haven't had the lemon donut, that is the best donut in the world. If for me, it rivals the Boston cream donut for me. So, hey, what do you have with Boston cream donuts?
I don't have a fryer.
Okay.
Actually, we bake all the donuts.
Okay. All right. So, but for me, it's that connection. So when I'm sitting at the counter, I'm thinking about what would other people like? What, you know, how does this, you know, how do I like this? And really, things that reminds me of growing up, like, you know, yeah, my grandmother made something, or I haven't had this since, you know, back when I was, you know, 8 years old.
Now, you mentioned the lemon curd. And when I was just out of culinary school and I was about 19 years old, my mother had some friends over. And I made lemon tarts with that lemon curd, just put in a nice little crust. And it's something that I've offered on and off over the 35 years I've been doing all this. And my mom said, you know what, those tarts, they don't look so good. And she said that to my dad, and I didn't know this until later. But she was upset that they didn't look good. It was the first time that I'd ever made anything. And I'm cooking for her friends that are coming over for this afternoon tea party kind of thing. And this woman, a British woman, starts crying at the table. And my mom comes over and says, is it really bad? She goes, no, it's just like my mom used to make. And she's got tears coming down her face. And my dad says, I guess it wasn't so bad, was it? But it's very interesting, that deeper connection that you have with products. And sometimes you just hit that nerve. And that's as a chef, that's gold. Right? Yeah. That's the best you can get. Compliments all day long. Yeah. But something like that really stays with you.
And I think that's really why it's one of my happy places, because it just reminds me of so many things growing up. My mom, you know, especially. And, you know, how many times do you have a chance to really connect with things so deep? And I'm getting kind of teary-eyed here. You know, going to the store reminds me of mom. Sure. Reminds me of things that she made from scratch, you know, and that family connection. So, you know, for folks who haven't been there, you know, and food was part of their lives and memories, and ethnic food especially. You know, you have to go. And Keith, why don't you tell our listeners again what's the best way to connect with you and your store?
Oldworldbreads.com. We can have online ordering, or you can call the store and place an order, or you can just come on in. We have all different ways to do that. The website's oldworldbreads.com. The number at the store is 302-313-5191. You can find us on Google or anywhere, and give us a call. And if you want to pre-order, we ask for 36 hours notice if you're going to call the store. So basically the day before at 11 o'clock, and we'll get it ready for you the next day. Or you can do 48 hours ahead of time and order online. We're trying to update that program as well as best we can to make it easier on everybody.
Yeah, I can attest to ordering pies. We ordered, I don't know, about 50 pies this past year and gave it out to our clients during the holidays. So thanks, Keith, for doing that.
Thank you.
They're really wonderful pies. Keith, you talked a little bit about your background. How did you get into such, please don't be offended, such a crazy way to make a living? It's a hard way to make a living. I mean, why baking?
It's a different insanity in itself, honestly. I went to culinary school at the Culinary Institute of America in Hyde Park, New York. I started cooking when I was 14 years old, my first job, washing dishes and peeling shrimp and oysters and shucking oysters and clams in a seafood restaurant in the beach in New Jersey. And then went up to culinary school in Hyde Park, New York, and then even hit the Greenbrier Hotel in West Virginia, which is a 5-star property. And then made my way out to Colorado. I was in Keystone Resort, 2 mountains back. We had to take 2 gondolas to work every day, and a 4-star restaurant, the highest fine dining in North America. And that's where I met my wife and followed her back this way and came to Delaware in the year 2000. And that's kind of where it started from here, and then bounced around a lot of different restaurants in the area to finally say, you know what, it's time.
Well, it's really neat. You know, as you go through life, you learn, you pick up recipes, you pick up experiences, you pick up techniques to your trade, and you've pieced it all together. And here you are now, you know, here in coastal Delaware, just, you know, in this little part of the world, impacting people in a special way.
I appreciate that. And there's so many great chefs in this area and so many great restaurants in this area that have grown that I've had the pleasure of working with over the past 22 years here. And, you know, I think I've taken something from every one of them in one form or another. Techniques, food, just how to be better with people as much as possible. And it's a good community to be a part of.
And without giving away business secrets, I'm sure your products are in many of the local restaurants, I would think.
We're in a lot of different places, a lot of rolls, different breads, as well as some pastries. I can give shout outs to all our wholesale people, but mostly we're doing a lot. We've geared more towards going out of the retail location in farmers markets. I wanted to give a shout out to some of our wholesalers. Right now, Olive and Oats, we've been working with them a lot for many years. Shell Coffee House, we're selling our pastries out of their place up there right on the boardwalk in Rehoboth. Poor Boys Restaurant, we make all the bread for their sandwiches. Good Earth Market, we've been partnered with them for 8 years, and they've been through many different changes recently. That's an amazing spot. Maureen's, Chesapeake Bay Creamery, Hammerhorn's Food Truck, Chesterfield Heirlooms down in Pittsville, and there's a lot of guys that come that are in food trucks that come pick up as well. So shout out to all them, and thank you for your business.
Keith, we talked a little bit about connecting with the community and the bike paths, and I'd like to expand on that, how you've become more of an integral part of the community with your generosity and just that whole connection with your products and what your store means to folks who shop there and benefit from it.
We do a lot of different things with the local community, as well as even some of the donations and things like that. So at the end of the day, all our donated bread is being sent over to all kinds of different places like Casa San Francisco, Epworth Church, Emmanuel Shelter, Milton Food Bank. Even we've done some different things with the Dell Tech social media, Empty Bowls events that are from the Rotary and also the Rehoboth Art League. We try to do a lot with these different places. And at the end of the day, we always have a little something left over. And if it doesn't go to our staff, then we send it to these local charities.
Well, Keith, thanks so much for taking some time speaking to us. You have to get back to work and make some more donuts. But I really want to really give a plug to you and your store, you know, the wonderful food products you make and how you're really making this really a wonderful place to live, so that people can remember some things in earlier parts of their lives and truly love living here. We'll be right back.
It's easy for the markets to throw our retirement portfolio off kilter, but with a little guidance, we can get things back on track. Len is here to help. Give him a call today at 302-501-7711.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? If you want to retire and stay retired, get the information you need by joining Lynn, the Delaware Retiree Advisor, for a special event. What's the best way for you to take Social Security? When can you sign up for Medicare, and what does it actually cover? Is there a way to lower your tax bill? These and much more will be discussed as you and a guest enjoy a complimentary dinner. View upcoming events at dedicatedfinancialservices.com. Reserve your seat today by calling 302-501-7711. That's 302-501-7711, or go to dedicatedfinancialservices.com. Plan today so you can do the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Lynn, the Delaware Retiree Advisor. Call 302-501-7711 or go to dedicatedfinancialservices.com. Firm offers insurance services and is not affiliated with the U.S. government. Investment advisory services offered through SGL Financial LLC, an SEC registered advisory firm.
You're listening to the Delaware Retiree Connection. If you like what you hear on today's show or have questions, drop by dedicatedfinancialservices.com or call 302-501-7711 to talk to Len.
We're back. Thank you for listening to the Delaware Retiree Connection. This is your host, Len, the Delaware Retiree Advisor. We're talking about connecting over food, and food is really something quite interesting. It provides us with the basic, most bare essential substance, but it also could be our greatest source of pleasure. And so we have both extremes, something we absolutely need and something that we absolutely, absolutely enjoy. And why is that? Because, well, the needing food for sustenance is an obvious point. But the other part of food is probably obvious as well, that we enjoy eating, and we enjoy eating with friends and family and loved ones because there's an amazing source of connection over food. And what we're going to do, we're going to go down memory lane. We're going to take a look at why that is and try to bring that into our future life. So when we think about our childhood, we think about typically fond memories of family. And hopefully all our listeners have fond memories of families. We know that some folks have painful times, but we want to really focus on just the wonderful times. And often those wonderful times revolve around get-togethers around the table. These could be regular events, or these could be special occasions during the holidays. And what does that look like from the standpoint of food? Well, I'll just speak about my personal situation. I'm Ukrainian, and of course, Ukraine's been in the news. But I remember having all those ethnic foods growing up. My mom made them, and it was, of course, they were just delicious. But there were a couple things that were going on with that time in my life. One, it was something I enjoyed. But also it created connections with me and my ancestry, my heritage, and my family. And so when I have ethnic food, that brings me back to that place and time, that space. And when I think of friends, when I think of people that I've had wonderful relationships with over time, sometimes memories of food or certain things we share, places we went together, restaurants, come to mind. And the aspect of food really becomes more of a very relational time. It becomes a time of great meaning, connectedness. And so maybe it might be worthwhile mental reminiscence to just go back and think about what were some foods that we enjoyed over the years? And maybe in stages of life when we moved to a new community and we met some new friends, and what did that look like? And maybe we started a new job and we had some friends that we worked with, some coworkers that had certain foods that we enjoyed, or maybe extended family members, maybe marrying into different cultures, or maybe we married into a different culture and we got connected with types of food, because food is so so personal and so tied to people's cultures. And so those might be wonderful times to really think about what foods we enjoyed and who we enjoy that with. And you know, maybe we want to think about reconnecting with some folks that we haven't been in touch with because of being reminded about the food. So here we are in this stage of life, and we're thinking about, okay, how does food fit into our lives? And I'm thinking everything from having people over to visiting people to going to restaurants. And the point is this. You know, the people that we do food with are special people in our lives. You know, rarely do we invite someone that we don't want to have much of a relationship with for food. That's kind of a sort of non-starter, right? We want to have those times with friends and family that we enjoy, we appreciate. And what's so important and so really, I think, wonderful about having a meal with someone is that it's a time to get real, and it's a time to connect on a very personal level. And why is that? Because my observation is too much of life is filled with distractions. How many times can we say, yeah, we were doing something, you know, we were watching something on the TV or whatever, going on a stroll, and we weren't there in the moment. And I think we might have all heard the word, we weren't present. We weren't engaged with what was going on. And as a result, that moment we were in, we really didn't experience to the fullest because we kind of weren't right there at that place and at that time. I think having a meal really forces us to be in that present moment. You know, we're doing something physically, although it's not our physical activity. We're doing something physically. We're engaged with people, and the two just automatically connect. And of course, you know, food is enjoyable and it's pleasurable to eat. As a matter of fact, you know, there's a whole subset of food called comfort food, right? And we eat comfort foods, we get a sense of peace, and we get a sense of just things being okay in our lives through it. But when we're having food with friends, loved ones, families, what have you, it's a great way to get to know people and to enjoy a more intimate time with them. So I would like to encourage you to use a little system, a little structure that I develop when you have a meal with people you want to connect with, to make that meal as enjoyable as possible, to make it as meaningful as possible, and to really connect with the folks that you're sharing a meal with. And this is the way I would suggest to do it. Maybe if you have an appetizer might be that time of the meal where you just kind of catch up and you do the little small talk and what did you do today, and what was your last week like, or what did you do this year, or those types of things. Talk about the sports or the weather or whatever it is, and just kind of connect. And then when you have your meal, the entree, and when I think of entree, I think of the meat. Well, that is when we have the meaty part of the conversation. Not intended to be a pun, just trying to be a good picture. So that, you know, that is a time where we maybe get into the serious discussion. Maybe we get into the more personal stuff, the things that might be a little bit more difficult to share. Maybe we get into the things where, I don't know, maybe it's even a tad uncomfortable. We don't want to be uncomfortable, of course, but we really want to get into the real important stuff of life and get into the details of that and speak into each other's lives and connect on a both relational level and on an important issue level. And then maybe when we have dessert, it's just kind of just the pleasant conversation, and we're connecting on that real friendship bond, the sweetness of our time together and what we mean to each other's lives and how we cherish that time together. And, maybe get away from some of the heavy conversation to that to that just that real friendship and connection. And then if we, when we're done with our meal, maybe whoever was the host, maybe, or I should say whoever's the guest can invite the other folks to their place. And then, you know, the guest becomes the host at the next meeting, so that you've transferred that connection to a future connection. And it's very, very important, I think, to set up another time to get together, because what happens too often is people say, hey, let's do it again sometime. And that sometime doesn't really happen because there's other things that get in the way. And if you're out someplace and the bill comes, sure, you can split the check, but maybe one person says, hey, I'll pick up this one, and why don't you get the next one, and let's plan a time to get together to do that, so that we can continue this connection and moving forward. You know, food is, of course, an essential part of our life. But if you think about really the socialization and the really important connection times we have with food and sometimes drinks and maybe wine, that is so part of our culture and how we do life with people that we value. So I'd like to just take a little recap here and think about this whole idea of reconnecting with food, and think about those times of our lives, our childhood, early adulthood, different places we lived and people we did life with, and with the recollections we have of food, and maybe thinking of our friends and figuring how can we connect with our friends with these food memories. Maybe what we do is we pick a place that's kind of our special go-to place, and not to say that we'll always eat there, but that's just the place where we go. That's kind of our friendship place. And every time I drive that place, I think of my friend so-and-so, because that's kind of our place and we have that memory. But we take our previous memories, maybe we connect it with food, maybe we connect it with our friends, family members, and maybe what we do is we use a little system to use to guide our conversation, to look at, you know, times in the past, and us just connecting with our friends on a more of a lighthearted and a superficial level, just on the surface. And then maybe when we have our entree, we have our deep conversation, our meaty and our thoughtful conversation. Then when we finish our meal with the dessert, maybe that's when we just talk about the sweetness of our relationships and think about what the future might be together. And then when we're done, set up that next time, because, you know, it's interesting. We have so much life ahead of us, but maybe not really. We have so many things to look forward to, but we don't know, you know, what lies in store. And so we really want to be thinking about making the most of every moment. We want to be thinking about taking the opportunity that we do maybe at least 3 times a day, maybe 4 times a day, just consuming some food and making that a real enjoyable time of connection with those that we love. This is Len, the Delaware Retiree Advisor. You're listening to the Delaware Retiree Connection. Thanks for listening. We'll look forward to speaking with you again next week.
Leonard P. Haydachuk is an investment advisor representative of SGL Financial LLC and offers insurance services through this SEC-registered firm. He also offers insurance products and services in Delaware as an individual licensed and appointed insurance agent through Dedicated Financial Services.